Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 33, stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Lord, hear the right, attend my cry, and to my prayer give ear, my prayer that riseth unto thee from heart and lips sincere. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 33.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first chapter of the second epistle general of Peter. That is 2 Peter, chapter 1. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, and to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. And for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So far in the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of heaven and of earth, thou who hast permitted us to be together in this morning hour around about thy word and sacrament, which thou hast instituted for the sake of and behalf of thy church here below, as it travels through a wilderness to a city that has foundations, thou hast given that it again may be administered, and that there may be an obedience in an outward way by thy church. Lord, that thou may also remember us in this afternoon hour. For it is an hour that we are called to look back in our life upon what has taken place. And we each shall one day also look back not only upon the morning, but we shall look back in our life to the beginning of it, to the continuance of it, when we are standing at its end. And thy servant, as we have read together, also stood at the end of his life in an expectation soon to be taken away from thy church. And so that his soul did desire to yet have a word that he may speak unto that people, that he may warn them to flee from the wrath to come, and that he may admonish thy own church to take heed unto themselves and unto that life that they are called to live here below. Lord, that we also may be given a word in the midst of the flock unto which thou hast trusted us. Wilt thou supply for us once again from above, and that thy Spirit may give us in our mouth the words to speak, and that the Spirit of thee may dwell in our heart, that the substance to be brought may be a substance that may be food and drink for hungry and thirsty souls, and that thy children may be given instruction as they have received so many blessings, and that they may receive also that instruction that is necessary still to go forward in the wilderness of this life, and that those who go over this world with a heart that is still deceiving itself, a heart that has placed themselves upon the inside when we are upon the outside, that it may be discovered unto us. Lord, that we may feel then the emptiness of the outward ceremony, and that there is nothing in the recognition of man. Oh, that there is nothing in the outward deeds that can fill our souls, but that it is so necessary, and that the substance do dwell in our heart, in order that we may receive the comfort that it was instituted to give, that thy children may receive that comfort also further in this afternoon hour, and that they may be led in the right way. Lord, look upon us when we stand still for our own account. Oh, that thy word and sacrament may be a word also unto us in this day, that we could not go on in our life in that same way that we have been born, and that our thought and meditation may be directed to that time when indeed we shall meet thee. Oh, that we shall may see and that we cannot meet thee the same way that we are in this day, and that we might learn to flee for the sake of our life while it is still called today. Lord, that is all thy work. It all must come from thee, because we are in ourselves poor and wretched, and we know not how to give anything, and we have nothing of ourselves to give. But Lord, thou hast everything, and thou can use the most unlikely means also to feed thy church. Wilt thou look upon us then in this afternoon hour, and that thou may be in our midst in mercy as one that serveth. Do look upon each and every one of thy servants, those who are sent by thee to bring thy word over the length and the breadth of this world. Do increase their number, that precious blood and that broken body, and that it may be preached in the midst of this present evil world, and that men may be brought down from their pride, and that a place may be made for him in whom thou art so well pleased. Remember all those that have not that word over the length and the breadth of this world. Oh, keep us from taking for granted all the blessings bestowed upon us from moment to moment and from Sabbath to Sabbath. And wilt thou give that thy word may also be brought to the ears of those in the furthest corners of this world, and that thy spirit may bring it there, that the hearts may be converted unto thee. Lord, wilt thou supply for our denomination in all our cares and needs? Wilt thou cause thy truth to remain among us? Look upon the vacant churches, and wilt thou supply for them? And wilt thou look upon our governments and all those that rule and reign over us in their great responsibility, for which they also will soon give an account? Turn us from our sins and from all the seeking of evil, and from the turning away of thy holy word, and bring us back again. Oh, that thou may not leave us to go our own way, and to work out our destruction, and to bring thy judgments finally upon us. But wilt thou have dealings with us in thy mercy, and bring us to thy footstool. Do be with all the afflicted and the sick ones, and all those that have special needs known unto thee. Be with those in the prisons, Be with those who are guilty, those who are innocent. Be with all that have addictions and that do need thy help from day to day. Oh, that thou mayst supply for all those who have needs of the mind. Lord, thou art our Creator. Wilt thou supply health and strength for those who are in need? And wilt thou look upon us also as parents and as instructors in the school and in catechism classes? Lord, may thou bless the labors that are performed. Look then, O Lord, upon us and upon our children. Oh, we are gathered in this afternoon hour again, and it may be around thy holy word and everlasting testimony. Oh, a testimony that has no place in our hearts by nature. Oh, Lord, thou knowest it. But in one moment thou can make it so different. Could it please thee then to give us in this afternoon ears to hear and hearts to understand? Oh, that we may be given to hear thy voice, and that we may be given to follow thee, and that it may be good to be together in thy house, for thou art in the midst of us. Do it, Lord, for the sake of thy great and thy holy name, and in the forgiveness of all of our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 35, stanzas 1, 2, 3, 5, and 6. Since with my God, with perfect heart, I walk and make His word my guide, and from iniquity depart, the Lord His blessing will provide. We announce that the Ruth Mission Guild hopes to meet on Thursday evening, January 27, at 7:30 p.m. We were also incorrect the second time this morning. The surgery of Mr. Bill Auerkirk is, the Lord willing, on February the 1st. Psalter number 35, 1 through 3, 5 and 6. Congregation, the epistle from which we have read in this afternoon is an epistle of Peter. Who is Peter? Peter writes himself, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Thus, he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. And that makes, as we may read this epistle, that word that he has written to be not the word merely of Peter, but to be the word of the Lord himself. As the apostles, they were in a special way the ministers of the Lord, that they have been inspired, as we read, to speak as by the Holy Ghost. Thus, the word of the Lord. Secondly, Peter says, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he was ordained to the greatest, to the highest office in the church of God. But he does not call himself nor make himself, as Rome does, the head of the church. But he calls himself the servant of Jesus Christ. That is, that he may do his will. He says, Simon Peter. Peter, that is the name that the Lord Jesus has given unto him. That was his new name. But he also says, Simon. Thus, the Lord does not permit his people to forget where that they have come from. What their name was. Thus, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And to whom does he write? We read, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. This is a general epistle that is not written to a particular congregation, but it is written to all of the congregations in general. And the apostle must of necessity, of course, write to the entire visible church. But in them, the apostle is really writing to the true church of God, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. Thus, that is the substance. That people is the people for whom the entire external visible church does exist. Are we also among them? We have seen also in this morning a separation. No, not here a perfect separation, but a picture of that church that has received that precious faith. Are we still on the outside of that church? The Lord directs his word unto that people. That was also this morning, was it not? Was it not a message that was directed by the Lord in that holy sacrament for that true people of the Lord? You say, then, is there a message for everyone else in that holy sacrament, in the administration of that sacrament? Is there a message, then, for everyone else? When the Lord, by his servant, does address himself to those who have obtained like precious faith with us, Oh, yes. Do you ever hear that message? It is a message, and that it speaks of the reality. It is the message that says, that is now what I stand on the outside of this afternoon. And then the Lord, He directs that word again unto His church. But may now the blessedness that we may hear in His word that the Lord gives unto that people, oh, may that blessedness and may that draw our hearts and that we may seek also this blessed portion. Our text can be found in the 11th verse of 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1 verse 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So far, the words of our text. An abundant entrance into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. First, what this entrance is, and second, the ministration of this entrance. An abundant entrance into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. What this entrance is, and second, the ministration of this entrance. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. Thus Peter speaks about an entrance. And he speaks about an entrance into what? Into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What congregation is this kingdom? There are two kingdoms with respect to the spiritual and to the eternal state of both men and angels. And that is the kingdom of Satan and the kingdom of God. But that kingdom of God, that is also in different administrations. Because here below, then it is a kingdom of grace. But hereafter, it will be a kingdom of glory. How is it that that church of God is in the kingdom of God? How is it that they are in the kingdom of grace? They are in that kingdom, and they receive all the benefits of that kingdom by faith. And it is therefore that the Lord Jesus saw the exercise and the strength of that exercise so important that He has instituted a holy sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Because they are in that kingdom by faith, by hope. That is a hope that makes not ashamed, but it is not yet fulfilled. Paul says this, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Thus, it is a hope that is not yet seen. Yes, seen in the sense of the eye of faith seeing it, but it is that which has not yet been received. Thus, the kingdom of glory, that is now the final state of that church of God. It is the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in its last, in its final administration. That is a place where that church is not in that kingdom by faith. It is not in that kingdom by hope, because hope there shall no more be necessary, and nor faith, because faith shall be exchanged for a beholding in that kingdom also with the natural eyes. The Lord Jesus, he very often speaks in his word about entering into the kingdom of God. And what does that mean? If we have to enter into that kingdom, what does that tell us, boys and girls, about where we are standing? If we have yet to enter, that means that he is assuming that we are on the outside of that kingdom. Were we so created on the outside? Oh no. And we were created on the inside of that kingdom of God. But we have left that kingdom. And we have departed from that kingdom by our own free will. And we have chosen instead for a kingdom of Satan, the kingdom whereof we were promised that we could ourselves be a God unto ourselves. Then we did not have to submit ourselves unto our Maker and our Creator anymore. And now, congregation, we ask of you, because it is an hour of reflection, and then for the greatest part, in the midst of the congregation, and then we have had to remain in our benches in this morning hour. And now it can only be one or the other. And we do not say that that separation is so perfect in the midst of the congregation, no. But the fact remains that it is the one or the other. And that we are in that kingdom of God, or we are not yet in that kingdom, which means that we are yet in that kingdom of Satan. Thus, it behooves us in an hour of reflection, and not only to ask what kingdom that we are in, and whether we are still on the outside of the kingdom of God, but whether this has ever become for us a burden. Or do we also feel a little bit when we are walking day by day that we are going in the midst of this world without God in this world? Or do we ever feel something of what our soul does miss? A people and that have been created to worship God and who cannot receive fulfillment outside of such a worship. Or do we ever miss when we may hear who that true God is? Or is it ever then our burning desire and that we also may be given to enter into that kingdom of God? Oh, what a wonder, what a blessing. Would that not be the greatest blessing in our life? If when we had to sit in our benches in this morning hour, and when we may observe what the Lord has laid away for that church, oh, that we would go out of this place as a missing person. And to say, Lord, this is now what I miss. Oh, is it now still possible when I am standing on the outside? Is it now still possible that also I, that also my wife, that also my children, my husband, may enter in unto that kingdom of God? Oh, there we would have the beginning. There we would have the beginning of that good work that the Lord is working in the life of his church. What is that entrance? Into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our children know that. How do we enter there, boys and girls? We enter there by regeneration. That is the entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the entrance into the kingdom of grace. But the entrance into the kingdom of grace in this world will end into the entrance one day into that kingdom of glory. And now there is no man that has ever entered in any other way. No, it is possible that we try to climb over the wall, but it does not profit our soul. For the Lord Jesus himself said, we must be born again. By nature, we have no desire to be born again. Was that so also in this morning hour? That we can look on congregation, so cold and so hard. That we can look on with no desire, with no jealousy. Or is that how it has been in the week that is gone by? Is that the way that we have sat in the house of the Lord in this morning hour? Or we are satisfied to be in the kingdom of this world, and then we content our hearts with all that is vain and all that is passing away, and no desire to enter in to the kingdom of grace. No desire for true regeneration. Or what will it be one day to stand without, outside of that kingdom of glory? We have heard a little of that in the past also, when we would be standing with those five foolish virgins. How will then it be for us when we are standing on the outside? Then we will desire. Oh, then we will desire that we may have an entrance into the kingdom of God. But it will be too late, because the Lord Jesus, he says, that many will seek then to enter in, but they shall not be able. But now the apostle speaks about something else. He speaks about an entrance. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. Oh, it is a great wonder, is it not, that the apostle may even speak about an entrance. And there are those in our midst, we know, there are those, oh, that at least in an outward way, no, you do not sit so cold. Then there are those that have a desire. Then there are those that do go upon your knees. And then you ask the Lord, oh, may I also receive such an entrance? And now the apostle. Is that not a wonder that the apostle speaks about an entrance? Actually, that is the entire gospel. Do you read your Bible? Do you know what the Bible speaks about? The Bible congregation speaks about an entrance. It speaks about the entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It speaks about it from Genesis to Revelation. It speaks about the fact that we were in that kingdom. It speaks about the fact that we have left that kingdom. It speaks about an entrance being made again into that kingdom. And it speaks about the ministration also of that entrance into that kingdom. Thus, the scriptures, they speak about an entrance into the kingdom of God. Children, you know that Adam and Eve, when they were sent out, then there was something that was placed in the entrance to the garden. And what was that? Oh, that was cherubim. And we read a flaming sword. Thus, when man, he has been sent out of that garden, or there was something that did prohibit him from entering in to that presence of the Lord again. And what is it that prohibits man from entering there? That is his sin. That is why he was sent out. And that is why he cannot enter. Is not sin an awful thing? Will we not consider this in our life? When we go from day to day in our conscience that knows when we do take of that forbidden thing, and then to consider the consequences of sin in our life, the evil of sin, what it has wrought for the human race, what it has brought in my own life, and that I am standing without that kingdom and that sin, and that is keeping me from entering into that kingdom, for nothing that defileth shall ever enter into that kingdom. And then there is the cherubim with the flaming sword, and thus it is the justice of the Lord himself. Oh, when he will be a righteous judge, and then the Lord has to punish sin. And thus, to keep the way of that tree of life, that justice of God, and that is standing in the way of that sinful man entering again. And now Peter speaks about an entrance. And if Peter speaks about an entrance, then it means that Peter speaks about those cherubim and that sword, and that they have been taken out of the way. And that is now what we have seen in this morning, have we not? Or have we not seen those tokens? How that the good shepherd, he has laid down his life for his sheep, and so that he has taken away the wrath of God when he has laid down his life and paid their price, and that he has made an entrance again into that blessed kingdom of God. But now that entrance, that also needs to be ministered to his church. That is our second thought. So an entrance shall be ministered unto you. Thus it is not sufficient that the Lord Jesus has made an entrance. It is not sufficient that the justice of God has been satisfied. But we, you and I, we need each one to enter in through that entrance. And now it says that this entrance shall be ministered unto you. Thus, if that entrance has to be ministered unto us, that means that we are not able to enter in of ourselves. Is that your experience? Or don't you know that? Because when we have never desired to enter in, and when we have never attempted to enter in, then we have never learned why we cannot enter in. We have never learned that we cannot enter in. But when the Lord will give us such a desire and such a seeking and such a longing, then it will be experienced in our own life personally, what it is that is blocking that entrance into that kingdom of God. And then we will experience that that entrance needs to be ministered unto us. Is that what you find? That you are not able to enter into that kingdom? But was not that the same experience when the Lord Jesus was upon this world? Or was it Bartimaeus? Was he able to open his own eyes? Or was it not another that he had to go to? Was it not another that he had to cry to, and that he may open his eyes for him? Or has that changed then in the history of the church? Has man ever been able to enter in? Or were the lepers able to cleanse themselves? And were the deaf able to open their own ears? And were the blind able to make themselves to walk? Oh, congregation, is there really no hope? Is there really no hope? Because you find that you are not able to enter in? Because you find that you are dead in trespasses and in sins? Or is it not an entrance that is ministered unto that people? And by the power of the Holy Spirit, must we not receive it out of His hands? Are there not hands then out of which we may receive it? For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. Oh, what are the means that the Lord is using to minister that entrance? Peter says it here. He says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Oh, a light that shineth in a dark place. Is it dark? Is it dark in the world? Oh, is it dark in the church? Is it dark in your heart? Then the apostle says, here is now a light. Here is now a light that does shine in a dark place. Is that now what Bunyan said? Oh, when he says, do you see yonder wicked gate? No. Do you see yonder shining light? I think I do. Oh, congregation, can you not enter in? Or are you on the outside? Have you a desire to enter in? Here is the light. Here is the light that is shining in a dark place. Oh, keep your eye on that light. And so shalt thou see the gate. Oh, one day the Lord will also then open it unto you. And he shall minister unto you an entrance into that kingdom. That word that is committed unto his servants, in order that they may do what? That they may minister an entrance into the kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do we not have a blessed work, children, as a minister of that holy word of God? That is the work of a minister, to minister an entrance, and to be a means in the hand of the Lord that other persons may enter into that kingdom of God. Do you know what David said? He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Oh, is that not a blessed place to keep the door? Oh, to open that door when men would desire to enter into that house of God. Oh, congregation, would to God that our labors in your midst, would to God that they may be used, that many may enter into that kingdom, that everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, when we may be given that privilege to preach unto you the blessed entrance of that kingdom, he who declares, I am the door. If by me any man shall enter in, he shall go in and out, and he shall find pasture. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you. But you say, is not the Lord speaking in this epistle to the true church of God? Is not the Lord speaking in this epistle to them that have obtained like precious faith with us? Are they not already entered into that kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? How is it then that the Apostle Peter speaks unto that true church, and he speaks unto them about an entrance being ministered unto them? Well, there is more than one ministration of that entrance. We have said that in that new birth, then indeed a man enters into that kingdom of God. But they do not enter in their own estimation. They do not enter in their own conscience. No, it is exactly the opposite. Because when a man enters into that kingdom, then he feels to be just on the outside of that kingdom. He feels to be without. Thus we have the mystery of that new life. And there is another thing to enter into that kingdom by the revelation, the personal revelation of the blessed mediator to our own soul. Then it is a people that still feel to be without. But it is a people who have seen that that is the entrance. Or it is a people that will not forget the freedom, the certainty, the preciousness of that entrance in the only begotten Son of God. Then it is a people, when they have seen that entrance, and that they begin to seek that they also may enter in this way. It is still another thing. It is still another matter when a person may enter in by the, what we call, the application of that Savior to their soul. That is, by the application of the merits of that Savior to their own conscience. That is another thing. Because when a man hears the sentence of a judge, then he goes out of the prison when he has been acquitted. Thus, he enters into life because there is for him no more sentence. There is for him no more death. And now Peter says what? He says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. And congregation, our poor tongue is not able to describe the abundance that there is in that entrance into that kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All that is an abundance that is experienced by a small measure in the life of His people. That people, they see a gate that is open so wide that it is able to take in every single man, woman, and child in this whole world. You say, the Lord Jesus said, "Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." That is true. But it is not because there is not a great abundance of entrance in the blessed mediator. But why is that gate so narrow? It is because there is no room in our heart to receive that entrance and to receive the abundance that is in that entrance. We have never been humbled. We have never been brought down from our pride. We have never been made poor. We have never been made needy. We have no lack. We do not desire to enter. And we do not see our inability to enter. But now when a soul is emptied, oh, when a soul is emptied, when a soul is humbled, then all they will experience an abundance in that entrance. What does the prophet say? He says, it is without money and without price. How many does that include in the world? That includes the poorest one. There is no one then, when it is without money and without price, then there is no one that needs to be excluded. Or the hungry. The hungry, we read, he fills with good things. But the rich, he sends empty away. All for those hungry, an entrance that is ministered abundantly. And then they find so much room in a precious mediator. Or was there a little sight of it also in this morning hour? And we say, for those who may come, but or it is possible that a man, he has seen it also in his seat in this morning. Or to see something of the abundance that now is in those precious tokens. That entrance that has been made now so wide that it can include the greatest sinner, the chief of sinners in this world. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Oh, when the Son of God, and when he cried out, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Then what do we read? The veil of the temple that was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Oh, then it went congregation wide open. It was completely open. It was completely rent. And so the prophet, he says, "Lift up your gates, the gates, all at the glad summons obey." That is the way that Son of God entered in. And that is the way that the church of God, they will also in union with him enter. Let us sing first. 320. Ye gates of peace and joy untold, ye gates of righteousness unfold, that I may enter in and raise a song of thankfulness and praise. All stanzas of 320.
Thank you.
For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There is, congregation, still another ministration of the entrance into that kingdom. There is the objective entrance that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the subjective entrance, also in the experience of the individual soul and life. But there is also a reflective entrance. And that has to do with the observance of the fruits. How is it that the objective entrance, the objective work of the Lord Jesus Christ, how is that work received in the soul? It is received by faith. So the apostle says, who have received like precious faith with us. And so the people, by faith, receive entrance in Him. We read, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But then what does the Lord say to that people? He says, beside this, so there is something more. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Thus, Peter, with James, says that to your faith must be added works. Else, he says, your faith is vain. Thus we see that God's true church, they may now receive instruction for their life. The Lord says, give diligence. To what? To add works to faith. James says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, but I will show thee my faith by my works. Thus, faith shown by works. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, a tree is known by its fruit. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. For what purpose? That ye may go forth and bring forth fruit. There is one more entrance into that everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what is that? That is the actual and the final entrance into the kingdom of glory. Oh, how blessed shall be the work of the angels on that day, who will be sent, we read, to gather the saints of the Lord from the four corners of the earth, and that may bring them and that may minister unto them an entrance into that blessed eternal kingdom. What do we read the Lord Jesus says? He says, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. All that will be the entrance from the kingdom of grace unto the kingdom of glory. For all the beggars, for all the poor of that true church of God. But there will be two things that are necessary to enter there. And what are they? We have first, we need to have a right to enter there. And second, we need to be made fit to enter there. Justification is that which takes place outside of the church, in that court, in that tribunal of God. It is a sentence of the judge. And when that sentence of the judge is made, then that people receive a right to enter there. But they now need something else. They also need to be sanctified. Or they also need to be washed. They need to be cleansed. They need to be made holy. Why? Because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. That is now the end. That is now the very purpose of the Lord in the redemption of His church. To deliver them from the corruption that is in the world. To deliver them from the corruption that lives in their own hearts. And to make them fit. To make them holy. That they may be a suitable people to enter into communion again with Him. Thus it is not only to pay the price for sin, but it is to do away with sin. And now it is by those fruits that it becomes evident that a man has been redeemed by the Lord. And that is part of the assurance for the true church of God. What does Peter say here? He says, Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, those are all that came before, ye shall never fall. No, he does not say, he does not speak about their ability to do those things. But he speaks about their duty to do them. And he speaks about what the Lord works in that people to do, so that by their fruits they shall be known. The Lord does not make antinomians out of his people. Let us do evil that good may come. No, it is just the opposite. But the Lord is working in that people a warfare. And it is a warfare between the flesh and the spirit. That warfare did not exist before that they have entered in unto that kingdom of God. And thus it is by that warfare, it is by that new principle, it is by that new desire, by the command of the Lord to add those works unto faith, that that people may be known and that they may know themselves the work of the Lord in their own hearts. What does the Apostle Paul say? He says, the good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. But what does he say further? If then, I do that which I would not, then I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it. He concludes.
It is no more I that do it. No, it is sin that dwelleth in me. Was that not now for his assurance? Was that not now for his entering in? And so Peter says, that is evidence of a man's calling. That there exists a new principle, that there exists a new desire. And that evidence of the calling, that is in turn evidence of election. And so it is made sure by way of the grace of reflection. And so Peter says, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And is not that also what Paul continues to say? He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Oh, that was for him an assurance. It is, congregation, possible that we come to the Holy Supper of the Lord. But this warfare is not in our heart. And this warfare is not in our life. And then there will come a time that it will all be exposed to our eternal shame. Oh, the Lord, open our eyes before that it is too late. People of the Lord, what does the apostle say? He says, give diligence. Give diligence. And why? Well, because it is the command of the Lord. Is that not enough? Oh, who has blessed you and who has given you so much above so many people in this world? But not only that. No, the Lord also allures you to do it. To add works to faith. Why? He says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. That is, in the beholding of the fruits. Or in this life, it will minister to your peace and to your comfort. That you are delivered from that kingdom of Satan. And that you are entered in that kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. All the more that you may forsake this world, the more abundant shall your entrance into that kingdom be. Oh, the more you will be willing to forsake it all and to soon leave it all behind with all the sin, with all the persecution, and with all the temptations, with all the lusts. All the more that you may forsake that world, the more that your treasure that will be in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt. All the more that you will long, that you will look for him to come. The more that you will say, oh, why is his chariot so long in coming? All the more that your heart that will long to be received into everlasting habitations, that you may be ever with the Lord, and so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in all thy truth. There is an entrance, all that there may be, in this afternoon, a people for whom there is now a wonder, for whom there may be a little hope, a little expectation born, when there may be spoken of an entrance, and that for a people
who deserve to be shut out forever and forever. Oh, give us, Lord, to seek it while that entrance is still open, which is not going to be forever. But wilt thou bring us in, Lord, because we cannot bring ourselves in. Oh, minister to us that entrance abundantly and unto our dear children. And wilt thou look upon us now when we go from this place, all thy word that has been brought and heard. Oh, forgive thou all that was sinful and amiss therein, but could it please thee to bless and sanctify it and send it with us now in the week that is to come, that it may go with us every day and that our soul could not leave thee be. Lord, look on us, forgive all our sins, and for Jesus' sake, amen. 59:2-5. What man shall stand before the Lord? On Zion's holy hill, the clean of hand, the pure of heart, the just who do his will. 2-5 of Psalter number 59.
Amen.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.